This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line, as we welcome you back, hour two, BetMGM. Of course, the sponsor, he's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We bring in, from behind the book, a Hall of Famer. His name is Vinny Maliulo there at the South Point. Couple things. One, I heard you during the break kind of flexing a little bit. You're handing out money at the South Point, so stop by your local shop. Vinny is handing out cash, which is cool.
That's right.
Also,
good job by
the intrepid reporter Michael Lombardi when it comes to soccer. It appears France has been hit with a virus. Their starting center back could miss the World Cup final against Argentina. Vinny, are you up on this? My book hasn't really adjusted the number here for the World Cup final with Argentina and France. Hi, how you doing?
Good, boys. Good to be with you. Yeah, great game. Good. What a weekend of sports with great variety. As far as the World Cup final, money's been coming in on Argentina anyway. The game opened.
Messi.
I'll pick them. And yeah, Messi versus France. The Argentinian side's been getting that play. So we opened at Pick'em, and now you're starting to see 15 cents, 20 cents, and 25, I think, across the board, particularly with the news of a virus maybe impacting the France side. So we'll see, guys. But, the action's been good. I think the action will be good tomorrow. And, you know, it's sandwiched around college and pro football, college basketball, NBA, NHL. So what a great weekend, and what a great weekend here in Las Vegas, where several of these events, highlighted by the Raiders and Patriots, is going to be here in town. So lots of fun this weekend here in town.
It will be a good weekend. I mean, look, what do we have? I just read online, Vinny. I think it's like the next 16 days. We have football for the next 16 days. I mean, you can't
beat this
kind of that. Plus the World Cup.
Oh, man. It's a great time of year. You know, there are so many important games in the NFL. And, of course, we're gonna get Saturday games as well. But the bowl games, the bowl schedule, you know, some people complain about it. There's too many bowls. We personally don't complain about it because the more games, the better. But the thing about it is you've really got to be on your toes. You've got to really pay attention to what's happening with some of these games. And now, it started a few years ago, and I guess probably one of the more noteworthy names was Christian McCaffrey when he opted out of a bowl game, and it's understandably so. But now you've got not only players opting out, you've got players that are injured, which, you had that for a long time. But you've also got players transferring. I mean, when you look, you look at a game a classic example, Clemson. Uyagalele decides that he's just going to transfer. He's not going to play. He's not going to play at Clemson anymore. It's not an injury. It's not opting out just to sit out and potentially go to the draft. You got guys now that are saying, "I'm out of here. I'm leaving." So we've got to really be on top of it. Bettors are on top of it. We've got to be on top of it. So you've got to watch what's happening with that game. Now that game hasn't moved that much. It's actually toggled back and forth between 6.5 and 7, laying 6.5 and taking 7, because that news came out earlier. But Tennessee's, their quarterback is out. I mean, in fact, they're going to go with Cade Kluber, I think, at quarterback. That's Clemson's side.
Clemson's Kluber at
quarterback. Yeah, but Tennessee, no Hooker, Jalin Hyatt. Is probably not going to play in this game as well, their wide receiver. So you got all kinds of dynamics going on. Numbers are going to move quickly once things get confirmed.
Yeah, a couple things. Yeah, one, it's going to be the former Michigan player, Joe Milton, under center for Tennessee, and Klubnik under center for Clemson. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I think that's why the guide's so important, because, the one, as Vinny just alluded to there, what gives the book an advantage is they usually are on top of the information before we are as the general public, and this isn't like now you're not on top of it. That's to me, Vinny, where are you on Alabama, Kansas State?
Alabama, and let me find that game, Michael. I mean, you know, you're looking at a game where you're really wondering. There hasn't been a lot of movement on that game, actually. Alabama's holding steady as a three-point favorite here at South Point. In fact, everybody's trying to figure out exactly, you know, just how motivated Alabama is. I think there are some three-and-a-halves out there on Alabama. But Kansas State, listen, highly motivated, right, especially coming off of that Big 12 championship game victory over over TCU. So I think, you know, this will be a heavily bet game. I think professional bettors are going to look to see as you know, how many points they can get with the dog here. But really hasn't been that much movement there. And, of course, you know, Alabama's not used to playing in a non-playoff game. So you wonder how that's impacting them mentally.
Vinny, we've got another one down in Orlando. Actually, a pretty tremendous matchup with Troy, defensively minded, UTSA, tremendous offense. Frankie Harris, the quarterback who slings it, he's coming back next year. It feels like he's been there for 20 years. But Troy and UTSA, both 11-2, both conference champs, respectively. I think it's the only two conference champs to take on one another in a bowl game. Two of the best teams in the group of five. They had great seasons. Again, it kind of strength on weakness. The UTSA offense against that Troy defense is one of the best in the country, to be fair. Are they betting it at the South Point?
Yeah, they are. There's a big move on this game. San Antonio getting to play here. That went from pick to one. They laid one and a half up. This game's up to three. And I don't think this will surprise you guys. The total on this game is continues to rise. We just went to 57 on this game. So 54. In fact, the game kicks off at 12:30, but somebody already scored. So that'll give you an idea of how much the folks like the over in this game.
That's funny. Yeah. The Duluth That's Trading so Cure Bowl. Does anybody know what Duluth Trading? I don't even know what that means.
And that Duluth Trading Company, I mean, don't they sell like work clothes and stuff like that?
Oh, that's right. It's like a Carhartt. You're right. Yep.
Yeah.
You're right. Did they bet Miami of Ohio UAB? I think UAB closed closer to 11 there, Vin.
Yeah, we did. We closed at 11. Another game that went over too, right? Well, it seems like the Bahamas Bowl always, right? It always goes over. It doesn't even matter if there's like hurricane winds. Remember that that game a few years ago, right? This game closed 11. Open 9.5. They laid everything up to 11. Didn't get any dog money until we got to 11 right before kickoff. And the total from 44 to 47. Again, a lot of these bowl games, we see quite a bit of, for the most part, over money on them. And these two games today are no exception to that.
What is the hottest game that people are playing besides the Final Four games? What do you get the most action on?
I would say, you know, if I look at the betting sheet, Michael, that's a good question. Oregon's getting quite a bit of attention against North Carolina. You know, that game's up to 14 now, North Carolina catching two touchdowns. So that game has gotten quite a bit of play. And I think the other game that's, you know, non-playoff game that's had the biggest move, and I think it's as much about injuries and you know opt-outs too is LSU now is up to two touchdowns, right? I mean, with the Purdue quarterback situation, O'Connell not playing. So, definitely the Oregon side, the Ducks are getting a lot of support. Now it's settled in at two touchdowns. So I don't think that's really a surprise to a lot of people. But again, there'll be some North Carolina money there. I think folks are waiting to see if they can get more than 14.
Just out of genuine curiosity, rotation 283, Vin, Utah Penn State. Very curious to watch this matchup. Love Utah in it. What are they doing with the opener, and where's it sitting now?
The Utah and Penn State, they took Penn State in this one, Patrick. And again, you know, Utah, very highly rated from a power rating standpoint. We did open the Utes as three-point favorites. They took the three pretty quickly. We're at 2.5, and that's where it has where it has sat. So, look, the thing about this, the Rose Bowl, guys, it doesn't matter who's in it, really. I mean, you know, for the most part, it is still the Rose Bowl, and that'll get plenty of betting attention. The thing about the Rose Bowl this year, too, the way it's positioned, is there's going to be so much carryover to that game that it'll impact this number to whether it comes down or goes up. So, there'll be a lot of support for both sides in this one. But again, that game on January 2nd will be the carryover game.
Give me Whittingham over your boy Franklin Lombardi every day and twice on Sunday. Thank you very much.
I could see you like that one. I could see you do. I mean, look. We saw Utah last year in that bowl game out the Rose Bowl last year. They gave Ohio State all they could handle. It's a tough-minded team. Everybody kind of thinks that it's a walk in the park because it's Utah. They never have a top 30 recruiting class. They don't have any of these five-star kids. Yet all they do is play really well every year.
I totally agree. Totally.
You know, Michael, you bring up an interesting point too, and maybe it's a little bit of an angle, is that, you know, the Pac-12 feels so much slighted, right? Really, when you think about it,
yes.
Whether
yeah.
it's, you know, with whether they're voters. I mean, I know, you know, certainly the Heisman went to the Pac-12 this year, right, at SC. But the reality is this: the Pac-12 always feels disrespected. They were finally in the playoff conversation up until the last weekend this year, right? Particularly with SC.
Utah took them out of that, yeah.
And Oregon,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, and Utah's the one that took them out. Utah always – I think Utah's got the biggest chip on their shoulder. So to your point, you know, I'd pay very close attention to that. And then the fact that, you know, a couple of, you know, of the signature teams are leaving for the Big 12, Big 10.
Yes. Conference perception plays into these numbers. You're 100% right, Vinny. I think that's well put. You know what we'll do? When we come back, I just want to set up the Final Four. If there's been a move on Ohio State, Georgia, and TCU, Michigan, and then there's plenty to get to. But the bowl season, of course, is upon us, and we've got you covered. The way we're laying out the bowl picks, the best bets, the trends, we haven't done it before. So remember, VSiN Pros, you can check that out. VSiN.com/subscribe. We've got a Hall of Famer for another 15 minutes. We look forward to it. It's Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the reconfigured app. If you're in town there in Vegas, stop by any MGM property, bring your state-issued ID, and you're ready to go. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Again, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and they present the Lombardi Line for years now. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book. We always appreciate the time Vinny gives us. We'll get to the Mike White effect on the number and Zach Wilson in a second, of course. But just to kind of put a bow on the college, have we seen a movement, the semis, Ohio State, Georgia, and TCU, Michigan? Tell us where we stand.
Yep, Georgia from 6 to 6.5. That was pretty quick, too, guys. I mean, very early on when we posted these games, right after the pairings came out. And so it sat there, moved a trend to the over. Again, no shock here, 61 up to 62. More of a movement, though, with Michigan. We opened Michigan 9, and now that game sits at Michigan 7.5. So they've taken everything from 9 on down to 7.5 right now. Surprisingly, which I think this will change, this total at 58.5 has come down about a point and a half. But I think at some point we'll see some over money, particularly by the betting public. Public wants to see points in these games, so they like to bet overs. But Michigan right now at 7.5. TCU's gotten the initial play, but I suspect that we'll see Michigan money as we get closer to those two playoff games kicking off.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan's one of those teams that, you know, they rally late in games. They kind of struggle early, and I don't think they have that eye test passed by everybody. But then at the end of the day, they dominate the fourth quarter and they go away with it. So, look, it'll be a fun game to watch with TCU, but I just think, to me, Michigan is a different team than Michigan last year, and maybe some of this betting on against Michigan is reflective of when they played Georgia.
And I think the other part, Michael, to your point too, is Michigan, they were there a year ago, right? I think they learned a lot. Remember, they got really they got manhandled last year in that game. I don't see that happening this year. Again, I'm not saying that it can't happen, but they do. This year they hang around. The games are clear. Used to being in closer games, particularly heading into the fourth quarter and things. I think the year removed from being in a Final Four a year ago certainly serves them well in terms of what the betting public is going to think about when it comes to betting this game.
Sorry, Vin, this is a pretty broad theme, but Michael, you talked about Michigan getting out-toughed and outclassed in the Final Four last year, of course, against Georgia. But what's been the theme this year with Michigan? Just tougher this year. So that is TCU. This is going to be the toughest team UCLA plays just as far as line of scrimmage and all of that. So I think both your points well taken. Go ahead, Michael. You want to finish that?
No, I just think to me, TCU, you know, I think what happened last year was Georgia was just so physically dominating over Michigan offensively that it kind of cut them off guard and put them on their heels. I know Michigan's not great on defense this year, not nearly where they were last year, but they're better in the offense. Their quarterback's better, and I think their offensive line has improved. And even though they won't have Blake Corum for the game, they still can run the football effectively.
Yeah, and a year ago, too, I think, just to kind of add to that, right, what was the big game last year, which it is every year, right, the rivalry game with Michigan, they finally beat Michigan. Harbaugh finally beat Michigan, and it was almost like there was an exhale. I think, again, that what they did this year and going to Columbus and winning that game certainly gives them a lot more, and I think that they're, as a coaching staff, they're gonna build off of that. Again, I'm not saying that it's a guarantee they're gonna win this game. I'm not saying they're gonna cover this game, but I think they're much better positioned this year with what they went through over the past 13 months.
The Michigan beating Ohio State last year was their national championship. That's well put.
There you go.
It had been so long. And the dominance, it's almost like they exhaled by the time they turn around. Mm-hmm. Georgia's punching them in the face. That's well put. Okay.
Yeah.
Detroit at the Jets. So, Vinny, just to give you an idea, this morning DraftKings was Jets 2. DraftKings has flipped to Detroit 1 off the news. Wilson under center for the Jets. Mike White is out.
Yeah, not so as big a move here, guys. I mean, we opened a game pick'em, went to Jets 1. Now with the news, we've got the Lions as 1.5-point favorites. And I think it's a lot of it is perception, but I also think the perception deals with what the Jets as a team, you know, how they've responded, right? When you look at it, they've responded to White, right? And there seems to be more confidence in him. Now, Wilson, we're going to see. Has he learned from what's transpired? And Wilson, I think this is going to say a lot for Wilson moving forward beyond this season with the Jets. So, I mean, is it we didn't have it as high. We never got to the Jets as 2-point favorites, but I did see some folks moving in that direction. Here's what we've also seen, though, too, guys, right? The Lions have really they're playing a good ball. They can score. You know, I know it gets overused a lot in terms of, and that's the word culture. But the reality is there is a culture. Teams go, they have an identity, and part of that identity is the culture. And what the culture of the Lions is now is to believe. I mean, Patrick, you grew up in that area, and it's been a long time since there's been this kind of confidence and belief in a team. You know, Dan Campbell has it takes more than a training camp. It takes more than even probably one season for teams to get to a point where they have a completely different identity and belief. And I think we're starting to see that with the Lions now, too. So, and frankly, everybody's talking about the Jets quarterback situation, but I have to tell you, Goff has played terrific, particularly in the last month. So,
yes.
You know, nobody's talking about the Lions quarterback who's played extremely well, and they can score points. So, if by the way, don't forget they did play well in this stadium a few weeks back against the Giants. So no real shock here that money is shown for the Lions, frankly they're healthier than the Jets right now.
I mean, look, I couldn't agree more. I think to me, Vinny, what I've learned doing this and handicapping games is. And it was always something that resonated me when I was in the league is when teams are playing good, don't expect them to start playing bad all of a sudden. You know, after 14 weeks of, like, Cincinnati's playing really good. Detroit didn't start playing well. I mean, they blew a Minnesota game. They had a chance to beat Seattle. They had no chance against New England. But since then, they've started to play better. And I don't think you can run away from it, nor do I think the Jets you can run away. They're playing better. The uncertainty of quarterback is what scares most people.
Yeah.
Can we do this quickly for tomorrow? The NFL, those games, Vinny, 3:05 will start rotation with Baltimore-Cleveland. I'm going to give you the numbers on the three and just tell me if you think we could close a little differently here. Baltimore-Cleveland, I've got Cleveland laying three. Indy-Minnesota, I've got Minnesota laying 3.5. Miami-Buffalo, Buffalo laying 7. You run with those.
Yep. Here we go. Browns, open 2.5, so the number's 3 here. And again, we don't move the money on 3 here at South Point, so you'll probably see some more money lines on the 3 associated with the 3. Either side, maybe minus 15 cents or so. So I think that number's going to hang around right where it is. Of course, you know, the big question there with the Jackson, the big impact there, Lamar Jackson's injury. But 37.5 total holding pretty steady there. Vikings 4, that game has not moved, but I suspect we will see more Vikings money, particularly coming off of last week. And again, the Colts, you know, every time you think, you think that the Colts are going to get things turned around, it just hasn't happened this year, and I don't see it necessarily happening here, at least from the betting perspective. Again, no movement on the total at 47.5. This game, we've seen Miami money. Bills 8 on the opener. They took 8. They took 7.5. We're sitting at 7. This game's being bet over too, even with the prospect of some pretty cold weather. So right now, total at 44, which is up a couple of points. So the game that's moved the most tomorrow, guys, is the Bills, and it's gone towards the Dolphins. Of course, the Dolphins coming back from 2 games out here on the West Coast now, and 2 losses, by the way. Bills, we'll see Bills money come tomorrow, and there's no question about that. Particularly with the game being the key game tomorrow for not only the 3 NFL games, but also the bowl games that are tomorrow too.
Yeah,
the Tua love.
I'm surprised that it's going there. You think you'll get the 6.5 at Buffalo, Vinny?
No, I do not. I do not see this game coming down. If anything, I see it going back up. Particularly with carryover activity in terms of moneyline parlays and teasers, definitely to the Bills. And let's face it, this was the Bills' first loss of the season. It was early in the season. Very late in the game, and down in Miami. And who's trending? Michael, you brought up a good point a little while ago. Who's trending better and who's not right now? And clearly the Bills showing a good trend, particularly with their depth. Dolphins are trying to get out of a funk.
Vinny, I heard you say you have family coming to town this weekend. I hope you enjoy time with the family, my man. Thank you very much.
I will.
Thanks, Vinny.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
you
it.
Too.
Merry Christmas. Thank
See
you,
See you soon, fellas.
Behind the book there at the South Point, he's the Hall of Famer. When we come back, right move or wrong move? Some line moves for Week 15.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, remember, the bull season starts today. You've already got Miami of Ohio and UAB right now. UAB up 10-6. Troy UTSA, 2 very good teams, 2 11-2 teams. But who's in, who's out, what's the strategy? Well, go to the Bull Guide. That'll tell you everything you need to know. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's only for VSiN pros. Picks on every bowl game, power ratings for every team, bowl betting strategy, and more. VSiN.com/subscribe. Don't bet those bowls until you take a look at the bowl betting guide. Plus, they have the best bets for the bowl season. It's just really, it's really well done. Credit to everybody that's put that together at VSiN. It is VSiN. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. We've got your boy, Amal Shaw, who apparently did well in the Circa Blackjack tournament last night. He's coming up in about 10 minutes. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of these line moves that Elliot has pointed out for Week 15. And what we're going to do, Michael, is I'm just going to ask you, do you agree with the movement? Okay, so let's go ahead and throw up the graphic as far as the line moves. So the first one, the Panthers, you can see the Panthers 2 now have moved up to that key number of 3 hosting the Steelers. Do you think that's going the right way based on what you said about Tomlin earlier? Maybe not, huh?
Well, I mean, I think the uncertainty of quarterback is moving this number more than anything. Is if it Mason Rudolph, is it going to be Trubisky? I don't think it's going to be Pickett. You know, and the fact that, you know, we talk about the Steelers and their ability to play defense, and they really struggled to play the run last week. I mean, Baltimore ran the football effectively on them, and they ran it when they needed to run it at the end of the game. To, you know, they make it 16-14. The Steelers do with the touchdown pass, and then, you know, all they need is one first down, and they get it. So, you know, Pittsburgh as a road team, I think getting that three, I think that line, if you like Pittsburgh, I think this will close back at 2.5 before we kick it off on Sunday.
Okay. How about the next one? This is interesting. Yeah, I love what you said about the Jags, because they have been so up and down. It's a team that should have more wins. I'm not crushing Peterson. I'm just saying the talent's there, and we're starting to get some play from the quarterback. Loving the market. They're catching 5.5 down to catching 4 against the Cowboys here.
But the talent is there. There's no denying it. But they have not played good defensively. I mean, last week they kind of got away with it, right? Last week they were, you know, Tennessee, they're playing Tennessee, which doesn't have a passing game. Tennessee, right, you know, and so they're 26th in yards per attempt allowed, the Jaguars, right? I mean, they're 28th in yards allowed passing. I mean, they're 27th in yards allowed in terms of that. I mean, so they got away with playing a team that can't throw the football effectively. I mean, Tennessee's so desperate for a big play. Last week, the first play of the game was fake handoff to Derrick Henry, throw it back to Tannehill and try to take a shot. I mean, that's kind of where they are. I think this is a different passing game they're going to see. I think Smith at right tackle, who, you know, he was a left tackle. He's going to go over to right tackle to take place of Terrence Steele. That helps the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys are going to put pressure on Lawrence, and I think if Lawrence gets pressure, I think it's going to be a problem. I don't get the Jacksonville love. I was on Jacksonville early in the year as love, and I think they could be the best team in the South, but they're so inconsistent. Yes, they beat Baltimore by a point. You know, they weren't in the Kansas City game. You know, they come back and they get killed by Detroit, and then they go to Tennessee and win a road game, which they hadn't done. But, you know, this is the first time. I mean, they played Baltimore well, but Baltimore had the lead collapse in the fourth quarter. I mean, Baltimore gained 415 yards against them, 253 in the air. They ran for 262, right? They forced 2 turnovers. If Dallas protects the football, I think people will regret taking Jacksonville in this game.
The fourth quarter this year for the Baltimore Ravens is its own documentary. Second
half,
frankly.
Yeah, it's been.
But may I ask you about?
Although
Lawrence?
They came through last week, through last week. I mean,
and with a great drive.
I think if Huntley stays healthy, I think they move that game away. Once Huntley got hurt, then it became a problem for them. And Anthony Brown, they're just trying to manage him through the game. But, you know, I mean, that game in Baltimore, you're right, the fourth quarter. But look, let's go back to Jacksonville. 27th in red zone defense for the season. 29th in third down defense. I mean, we're talking like Jacksonville is this elite defense because they beat Tennessee, who can't throw the football. Right? They can't throw the ball. And they're not going to run the ball. Here's the problem, too. Jacksonville isn't going to go in this game and try to run the ball. They ran for 60 yards last week. They tried to run it. Against Detroit, they ran for 95. It's all they couldn't run it. And Detroit held them to 171 yards. I think Dallas' pass rush will be a problem for them.
Can we just take a second, and we'll get to the rest of the moves. But Trevor Lawrence, I really, when coming out of college, I said, there's not many can't misses. I genuinely believed, Michael, that he was a can't miss. He's been through a lot there. He had to deal with the disaster last year. Wasn't a great start to the season this year.
This is his rookie year. I mean, last year he wasn't getting coached. It was a complete dysfunction within the organization. You know, and this year we're seeing more of him. I mean, he's made some really great throws. And, you know, without a running game, I know ATN's a really good player, but they haven't really been able to run the football. When they ran the ball on the Raiders or when they run the ball on Denver, even though they lost that game, they're a better team. You know, they could have easily beat the Giants. They could have easily beat Denver. You know, they could have easily beat the Colts up in Indianapolis. And they lose to Houston. That four-game losing streak, think of the four teams they lost to there. Houston, horrible. Indianapolis, right. Horrible. The Giants, not as good as we think they are. And Denver, horrible. And then they come back. And, you know, when they raise the level of play, I'm not sure that Jacksonville can play as well as they did last week against a good Dallas team. Now, I think before you play Dallas, you got to make sure their secondary is healthy, that they're going to have some corners to cover. Like this team, Evan Ingram's a wide receiver for this team, Patrick. He's not a, I mean, he's not a tight end. They line him up at receiver. It's Zay Jones, it's Christian Kirk, and Evan Ingram.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, he's not throwing to look, Kirk's a nice player. You know Zay Jones from the Raiders, and Ingram's got generally the drops, but Etienne hasn't done anything over the past few weeks, and he's still continuing to progress. It's not like he's throwing to the top-tier talent in the NFL. I think Lawrence has been super impressive.
No, I mean, they're a draft away. I think the trade they made, you know, for the Atlanta receiver to come back in there, I think was a great trade, because for Calvin Ridley, he comes in and he's going to be able to give him that guy, assuming Ridley's healthy and all that and his mind's right and he hasn't lost his skill set. He gives them a legitimate receiver at a very economical price. That was a great trade by Jacksonville.
Great trade by Jacksonville.
They're going to pick this guy up next year, and he that's what they need. They need that one more guy, and then they can go back and start this secondary. Now, I'm just telling you, their secondary on defense is not good. And if Dak Prescott protects the football in this game, they will throw the ball effectively on Jacksonville. This love for Jacksonville has, to me, kind of gone off the edge. I mean, they haven't played a hard schedule, and they're 29th in the league in first downs allowed. Think about that. They're 29th in the league in first downs allowed. They're 26th in yards per attempt passing. I mean, and they're not a good team in terms of their defensive back end.
Can we do you agree, the right or wrong, on the move there with the Broncos from 1 all the way up to that key number of 3? I'm taking a look right now, and
I don't agree with that.
Everybody's
at all.
3.
I know we made this a Hall and Oates play, but like if you asked me who to play in the game, I would take Colt McCoy over Brett Rippon.
Right. So,
I mean, Hopkins is still going to be out there. I mean, Rondell Moore's not going to play, but he never plays. I mean, like, half the guys on the Cardinals never play, and McCoy will get rid of the football quickly. I think this is too – look, I think the reason this is going in Arizona's favor, in Denver's favor, is because Denver's defense is better than Arizona, and both offenses struggle. So I think that's why. But I think it's a flip. I think it's a flip of the coin.
I totally agree. And I like the quarterback advantage for Arizona. Couldn't agree more. How about this one? How about the Baker money? So we've gone from the Rams catching 8 at Green Bay down to Green Bay laying a touchdown 7, the second key number there. That's got to be Baker love. I don't know what else you can point to as far as that number coming down to that 7.
Or it's as Big Daddy would say, it's Packer hate. I mean, you know, I have this as a 6.56 game. You know, and so, you know, look, this Packer defense, you have to worry about it. I mean, you have to worry about how the Rams going to handle the weather out there. I mean, look, I know Baker was remarkable, but everything went right. They got every call. I mean, it was just kind of a Hallmark movie, their win last week against the Raiders, which unfortunately the Raiders have given up some Hallmark memories this year and against their opponents. The Cardinals had one too. So, but I don't have a handle on the Packers. This is a game that two teams are not playing well. Those are hard games to handicap. The hard games to handicap are when a team's playing well and another team's not. You overthink it, like last night. That's right. We were overthinking Seattle. Seattle got whooped by Carolina. We overthought it. You know, here comes San Francisco, rookie quarterback. It wasn't close. It really wasn't.
That is the point. Seattle showed us what they were the week before. Carolina, that score was not indicative of how much Carolina beat up on. They dominated the game. To think that San Francisco wouldn't do this, I was the idiot that was like, if I can get the hook on 3, I'll take Seattle. No. First possession, I'm like, wrong side, even though I got the hook.
You knew it right away.
Oh, you knew it.
The hook
right
was
away.
Another game that the line had no meaning.
Nope. Hey, that's a good point. You've been calling that out as well. Amal Shah joins us next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Just a warning, we've got an Amal Shaw rant coming up, but first I have to tell you about BetMGM. This is exciting. They're offering reward points. Visit BetMGM.com or download the app. Man, I can see he's pissed in the corner of my eye. Okay, here's what happens. Every time you make a bet at BetMGM, you get points. You can turn those points into free bets, airfare, travel, or plays, whatever you want, okay? Got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. It's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Michael Lombardi there. Of course, we'll be here on the Lombardi Line tomorrow. We'll be here Sunday, every weekend. Lombardi Line, I'm Patrick Maher. We're joined by one half of Big Bets, of course. That is Amal Shaw, who is not, and I repeat, not in a good mood. Something went down, Miami of Ohio, UAB, that has sent you off, my friend. What's up?
Well, we had, Michael, we had the greatest under drive of all time. 11 plays, 37 yards, and a turnover on downs, and then Miami punts the ball. And this moron, and I can't stress the word enough, from UAB decides to try and field the ball or is near the ball when it's going to be down inside the 10-yard line. Of course, he touches it, fumbles the ball. Miami recovers one play later, 4-yard touchdown. I mean, like, how stupid do you have to be? Get away from the ball. You have the lead. What are you doing? They give up a drive. Miami's not been able to move the ball all game, and now they give up a 4-yard or a 6-yard touchdown run because this guy's an absolute Mensa member playing on the special teams.
Well, you know, that's what happens. I mean, sometimes, you know, as Parcells would say, we're too stupid to win any games, you know? And I think that happens. Look, you know, it is just a hard, that's what makes the sport so hard to handicap, hard to coach, because your careers depend on sometimes guys making bad decisions in games. It just happens all the time. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, sometimes they make good ones, sometimes they make bad ones. And as a coach, you're just trying to eliminate all the bad ones.
But, you know, I'm a big advocate for teams not returning punts, and the reason is this is a perfect example of why. Now, I understand we're in the third quarter, you have a 4-point lead, but my thing is get away from the ball, run out of bounds. It doesn't make a difference. Don't need to be near the ball, especially if you're not fair catching it inside the 20-yard line. You know, for me, anytime a team's got less than 4th and 5 and you've got, say, a 10-point lead, you should be playing a punt safe, and as soon as the ball is punted, your defense should be running forward. There's no reason for you to be near it. You know, one thing, as bad as you can criticize Ryan Day in terms of not running the ball in certain situations, one thing I love is they always fair catch almost 90% of the punts. They're not trying to make a play on the punt return because it flips the field position if you turn it over by 40 yards, and it's the most likely play to have a fumble on. So why even risk anything? I try to be risk-averse in this. And, you know, these coaches are always worried about throwing the football. Hell, the punt is the biggest fumble risk play you have out there.
And also you risk penalties. I mean, when you have penalties in the kicking game,
absolutely,
that just really hurts field position. But you got to be good at it. You got to be able to do that. You got to be able to play without it, and you've got to be able to function. Because if you don't field those punts, and you lose field position and you get the ball backed up and all of a sudden you commit a turnover. I mean, you want to try to control the game through the kicking game. I think a lot of times you're frustrated. A lot of these coaches, they don't spend enough time on it. And I think that's the bigger issue. And I think that's why, you know, some guys just want clean exchanges and that's what you're offering. And that's great. But like last night, let's take Ray McLeod. He takes that opening kickoff back, gets it almost to midfield. Two plays later, the game's over. I mean, that field position is really going to be significant for a team like San Francisco if they're doing a good job. And I think that's where they've improved tremendously is in the kicking game, especially in their return ability.
I don't have a problem with the kickoff return because it's different in terms of how you're fielding and taking the ball. When you're returning the punt, you've got two guys breathing down your neck within about 4 to 6 yards of you, theoretically, and it just generally has much more turnover issues. In terms of the kickoff, you do have some fumbles, but not as prevalent as you do on punt returns.
My issue is the angles the punt block teams take, Michael. Whenever I see a rush, whenever I see a press on a punt, I always expect whether it's 5 or 15, something's going to go wrong with the running into the punter or whatever it is.
I hold my breath on every one. I'm worried. You know, yeah, you just hold your breath. And you're like, as Amal said, you're like, is somebody coaching these kids or telling these kids, let's not run into the punter, let's keep it? I mean, look at the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders got to force the last week. I mean, the game's probably over if Cleveland Farrell just stays onside. Think about that. How bad is that?
Well, okay, so here's where it stands. First off, Miami of Ohio were catching 11. They were catching 11 in this one. They're outright right now 13-10. You know what? I understand why you're pissed, because what did it close? 38.5, and a team that was catching 11 got a fortuitous break. So, I mean, you're still – ugh. I'm sorry. Now I'm going to have – even as the show ends, I'm going to have to sweat this out.
Is our man Trent Dilfer on the sideline? Is he there coaching it up?
He is. He's going to be taking over UAB, but he's trying not to interfere at this point in time.
I got it.
It's interesting to see how Hope performed there. I'm just a little bit surprised by this hire.
You, speaking of surprise, you could have seen the consternation on Michael and my face yesterday when Mike Palm said you were headed to Los Angeles, yet you had an opportunity to hang out with Paul Howard and Greg Peterson, so you canceled your plans. We were surprised by that. We do have a video of you in action, so let's go ahead and get a play-by-play. Michael, you can see the monitor as well. There's Amal towering over everybody like he's Wilt Chamberlain. What's happening here?
Fortunate enough, Mike invited me to this blackjack tournament, got the free roll, and they were all in. Of course, I doubled down on a six. I played the odds, and I ended up in second place. And mentioned Paulie, they had to get up early, so they exited fairly quickly.
So where do you stand? Where do you stand?
I stand in second place overall right now.
Good for you. Good for you. And again, canceled the plans to go to Los Angeles. Did you go from the table to the Greg Peterson experience? Did you stop by the studio?
I couldn't. There was traffic on the way to the studio, so I just decided to divert towards the parking garage, which was a simpler route out of the building.
I love you, Amal. Okay, well, congratulations. Michael was actually asking Mr. Palm yesterday, how's the tournament going as far as the Circa tournament? I know last week you said you had fallen back a little bit. Where are we standing now? Circa Millions.
Yeah, you know, I'm still in the top 5%. You got to make it sound like
that's
you're graduating
awesome.
Class when you're applying to Harvard. Even though you're in this one, it doesn't matter. You got to finish in the money. There's an opportunity there, depending on it goes. Went 4-1 last week. Had a couple of rough weeks previous to that, so it'll be difficult to be able to catch the leader at this point in time. But hopefully, can cash in the money. We'll see what happens.
And who do you like this week, Amal? Who's caught your eye on the card? Are you going to play the Saturday games?
I was looking at Buffalo because I think the one thing that we saw the exposure that happened to Miami, but the bigger concern I have is I thought the Miami Dolphins have beaten up on a weaker schedule. If you go through their schedule, Tua has done well against teams that are going to be high on the draft board. They haven't really beaten quality teams. That was one I was looking at. I'll be honest, I haven't looked at too many games that I'm in love with. Detroit's going to be interesting now that Zach Wilson's going to be the starter and Mike White is out, and want to see if Zach Wilson seizes this opportunity. To be honest, guys, I'm a little bit more focused on college basketball, a ton of great games over the weekend, but the NFL, I'm sure I'll find a way to come up with the five picks, but nothing is really jumping off the page to me. I don't know about you, Michael, anything that you really look at that stands out to you that you have an affinity for?
I think to me, looking at my numbers, I think the Giants will play Washington a lot better than, and I think 4.5 of the line's a little bit too much there. I do think this is the Giants make or break. I think that Washington's kind of, they ran the ball on the Giants, the Washington the last time. Daniel Jones typically plays well against them. I think there's throws you can make. They're healthier, the Giants, than they've been all season in terms of at least they're going to have Leonard Williams back and they're going to have Saquon Barkley healthy. I don't know if they'll have Adoree Jackson back, but I do think I think that game kind of jumps out at me in terms of, wait a minute. And then Minnesota, I like Minnesota on Saturday afternoon because it's a T-shirt and hat game. I think if they win that, they stay one game ahead of San Francisco for the number two seed. And I do think if you look at the Colts, you can throw the ball on the Colts if you can protect them. I think they get Darius Shaw back. So those two games kind of jump out at me the most.
I totally agree with Minnesota. 3.5 on Minnesota. Amal does feel light there.
I was getting ready to say the same thing. I like the Minnesota play here, and I like the term you use, the T-shirt and hat game, for people that are unfamiliar with what Michael is referring to. You win the division, and obviously they give you those hats that'll go in the trash about 3 weeks later when they get bounced in the first round.
But, those guys, they wear those around. It's like I wrote about today. I mean, one thing about pro players is, they all make millions, but you give out free gear. Or you don't give them their per diem, they're on you. I mean, they love that free gear now.
It's one of my favorite stories. One time, Joe Buck was interviewing Greg Maddux, and he's like, remember back in the day when they bring those guys in the pre and post game show and they'd give them like a gift certificate or something? Yeah. So Joe Buck pulls out $100 out of his pocket and he gives it to him, and he goes, I couldn't believe he took it. He goes, the guy's making $10 million a year. And he takes the $100.
They love it. No. That t-shirt and hat game, look, that's important. I mean, those guys, there's a sense of urgency in that. And especially with Minnesota with that bad taste in the mouth against Detroit, because as bad as they played defensively, I think Minnesota feels like they could have won that game offensively. And I don't think Gilmore can cover Jefferson one-on-one. I don't think that can happen. I think Jefferson's just at a whole different level.
I would agree with you on Jefferson real quick in terms of giveaways. One time I was at Green Valley Ranch and they were giving out stuff to their slot players. And I said to the lady giving out, who was kind of in charge of it, I said, you know, if you gave away a bag of dirt, these people would line up.
Well, people ruin their credit at games. You know, they'll sign up for credit cards to get a T-shirt. I mean, that is literally, you got
to
be.
I used to give a fake social security number in college because back then they couldn't verify it. I'm like, I don't want you running my credit for a T-shirt. I'll give you a fake number.
I hope Dave Ross is prepared to talk UFC because Amal Shaw is going to watch the Bahamas Bowl next on VSiN.
He's right about
tomorrow.
That.
Thank you.